Hey, Powerhouse, it's time to transform your legal career inside Powerhouse Elite. Created for the ambitious, forward-thinking female lawyer who is craving meaningful connections, career advancement, and empowering other women in the law. So let me tell you all the incredible value you'll be getting inside Powerhouse Elite, a luxury retreat at the Miraval Resort in Austin, Texas, September 27th through the 30th, monthly one-on-one coaching calls with me to specifically work on your goals and where you're going, access to a sisterhood like no other, connecting a network of inspiring, supportive women who share your values, dreams, and ambition. And also inside the Elite membership, you get a coaching call once a month with all of these incredible women in the Powerhouse Lawyers community. So if you're ready for more this year, join Powerhouse Elite. Grab one of the few remaining spots today by clicking the link in the show notes. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to transform your life and career with Powerhouse Elite.
You know, as much as I appreciate, you know, allies who are not working moms, I think we're the ones who know what we need. And so we need to be at the top, making decisions, setting policies, and just forcing a new normal.
You are more than a lawyer. You are a powerhouse. Welcome to Powerhouse Lawyers. I'm your host, Erin Gerner, a former lawyer, wife, mom, entrepreneur, and coach. And I'm here to show you what's possible. So if you're ready, let's go. Hey, powerhouses. Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Okay, we're talking about a topic that probably most of us can relate to, and that is being a mom and a lawyer and trying to navigate this profession as a mom and as a lawyer and trying to figure out the logistics of flexibility and availability and compensation and all of the extra moving parts that our men counterparts don't have to worry about. I remember practicing law. I was in-house with an oil and gas company, and I started that job not pregnant. So a completely different woman. And I ended up having my first daughter while I was at that job. And I will never forget leaving, obviously. And I had my daughter 7 weeks early. So when I left that job on a Friday, I had no idea I was going to have a baby by the next week. So that was kind of a surprise. But when I went back to work after maternity leave, I will never forget how hard that was. And I will never forget that inner knowing of I am a completely different person than when I started this job. And now I don't know what to do. And this is not conducive to me practicing law, which is something that I really love and enjoy. And I'm very good at that. I studied really hard for and have worked really hard for. And I don't know how to pair that with being the kind of mom that I want to be, because all of the women that I saw succeeding at the highest level, well, first of all, there weren't that many of them. And the ones that were not the kind of mom that I wanted to be. And listen, no shade. Like, I'm not throwing shade, but I am talking about my values and priorities. And that was not what I wanted my journey as a mom to look like. And there was no evidence that anything else was possible. I didn't have a community. I didn't have a mentor. And I mean, y'all, I left that job when my daughter was like 2.5. And I just remember thinking, like, how do women do this? Like, how can women do this? And now I know, and God's way of bringing me full circle is Powerhouse Lawyers, is this podcast, is the community that I have formed, is the women that I bring on this show every single week, and the stories that they tell. They are the community. They are the evidence. They are the mentors for you all, for the next generation, to show you what is possible. And I'm so excited to introduce our next guest, because she has made it her mission to make practicing law family friendly. She owns an 8-figure law firm in Virginia. She is an all-female lawyer-owned firm. There, she's got 12 lawyers working for her, and she knows what is important to make a firm family friendly, so you can keep and retain the outstanding female talent that is coming into the law. Now the statistics are 60% of the entering law school classes are women, yet 20% of women are in partnership. I mean, the statistics don't lie. We have to start doing things differently. I am telling you a story that my daughter just turned 13 and we're still having this conversation and the law is behind, but we are one woman at a time, empowering one female lawyer at a time to show you guys that there is a way to do this differently. And our next guest will give you massive amounts of courage and guidance on how to take the next step if you're ready to go out on your own. So thank you so much for always tuning in. And I appreciate you guys so much. All right, enjoy our guest. I'm so excited to introduce you guys to our next guest. Miriam Arrington is a law firm owner, author, speaker, and consultant. She manages Arrington Law, a woman-led multi-million dollar firm she founded 8 years ago as a brand new mom. This woman's story is incredible. You're going to love her. In 2023, she also published Mom's a Lawyer, How to Start a Firm and Take Control of Your Life as a guide for other lawyers interested in launching family-friendly firms while raising kids. Using her own firm as a model, Miriam is on a mission to make the legal profession more accessible for working moms. Welcome to the show, Miriam.
Well, thanks, Erin. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, give the listeners a little bit of background. So why did you go to law school and tell us about coming full circle, obviously becoming a mom, starting your firm. So tell us what was happening in between all that.
Sure.
Your digest version.
I love sharing that. So I'm a huge cheerleader for the legal profession. I love being a lawyer. People are down on lawyers and being a lawyer sometimes, but that was my dream. When I was little, the courtroom dramas I used to watch with my grandma, Perry Mason, those kinds of shows. And I mean, I remember as early as elementary school watching that and thinking, that's going to be me. That's what I'm supposed to do. So fast forward, went through college, went through law school, and I was really focused early in my career on trial work and criminal defense. That was really my passion. I started off as a legal aid attorney, quickly moved into private practice, and about the first decade I spent as a trial lawyer doing mostly criminal defense, really hard charging, landed at a firm in Richmond, Virginia, and was just absolutely loving it. So that brought me to...
You're like, okay. There's a butt behind that. It's always like in the pause and then we... I love it.
So, the first part of my career, I was just having so much fun and learning so much. I was really working 7 days a week, in court all day, doing my jail visits at night. For my fellow criminal defense attorneys, know that that's sometimes when you have to get it in. I was meeting with my coworkers on the weekends to do trial prep. I mean, it was just all consuming and amazing. I worked on some really interesting cases, got a lot of trial experience. It was all fantastic. 2016 comes around and, three things happen. I had my daughter, I went through a divorce, and the firm that I was working at was breaking apart. So that all happened, I want to say, within 6 weeks of each other. And so I needed to make a decision quickly. I needed to keep working. I loved law, so I wanted to stay in law. I was a single mom with an infant, a newborn, basically, and I needed a job. So I started a law firm. And, I've heard other people use the term accidental entrepreneur. That was 100% me. I didn't see myself as a law firm owner. I didn't have a business plan. I certainly didn't have money set aside. I just thought, I want to continue doing this. I want to still be a lawyer. That's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm a mom now and I'm a single mom. And, that didn't fit into my prior lifestyle of working 7 days a week. So I had to figure it out. I didn't really see anybody else doing that. I didn't have a blueprint. I didn't know any other, working mom lawyers who were trial lawyers who had a lot of flexibility. That wasn't a thing. So I thought, if I can do it on my own, at least I'll be answering to myself and I'll figure it out as I go along.
I love what you just finished your sentence with. I will figure it out as I go along. I think that lawyers do not appreciate that about themselves often enough. I think that a lot of us carry around a lot of imposter syndrome, feeling like if we're not an expert in something and we don't know exactly how to do it, then we can't go. But actually, we are an that doesn't just go for lawyers too, right? But it's, that's just my sphere of influence. Like, we're ninjas at that. Like, once we realize that we can figure it out, if we just start and start asking questions, then it's unbelievable what can happen. But I want to back up to your story, because I just think, first of all, those are three incredible, likely massive life changes happening all within, like, that's to happen at all in someone's probably lifetime, much less a 6-week period. And then for you to have the mindset of, I'm going to go out and do this on my own. And I know that's like the mama bear, right? It's like, I'm a mom. It's up to me. I'm going to do it. Tell us how, obviously with that incredible mindset, tell us how you did make it work. Cause you said you were looking around and there was no evidence of other people doing trial work that weren't working 24 hours a day like you were previously. So what did that look like? Trying to get that wheel in motion.
You know, Erin, this is a question that I don't have a good answer to. When, you know, people say that sounds crazy, I mean, they're right. It does sound crazy. And I kind of joke usually here, like I was very sleep deprived during that time. So maybe I wasn't thinking straight, which is true. I didn't consider any alternatives. It was like you said, the mama bear thing, you just do what you got to do. And we all encounter that in different stages of our life. And that plays out in different ways. For me, it was, okay, you're now a single income family, you've got a baby, you're a lawyer, it's the only thing you've ever done in your professional life. And so how's that going to work? And I didn't apply to any other jobs. I didn't consider doing anything different. I just thought, you know, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I found an inexpensive office. Initially, I was sharing space with two other lawyers from this firm that that had split up. We all pooled money together in for a shared receptionist, and that was pretty much it. That was our only overhead at the time. I did have a few clients, but with criminal defense, typically cases are really short-lived. So, you know, start to finish, it's a few months. And so it's not like I had this big, you know, accounts receivable coming with me. I had like a couple flat fee cases maybe. So it really was just starting from scratch. And I will say I've learned about myself. I do have a high level of natural confidence. But also I just had blinders on during that time. And I'm like, this is what's going to happen. I want to be a mom. I am a mom. I've got limitations. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I feel really fortunate that I was in that position, because it really just forced me to perform at a high level. When, you know, as moms know, or parents know, and particularly single parents, I had daycare hours and those were my work hours. And that was it. There was no option to stay late because I had to be at daycare at 5. There was no option to work on the weekends. At the time, I didn't even have any family in town. So the universe put those parameters on me and it just kind of forced me to grow into it. And I'm really grateful for that in retrospect.
That is unbelievable. I call that burning the boats. Like, you burn the ships, babe. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. There's no other option. Like, that's it. It's like do or die. And I think at certain points in our lives, we need stuff like that to happen to us. You can say this is happening to me, or you can say this is happening for me. And it is very evident that you were like, this is happening for me, and I am going to make this work. But I'm sure that it was not all sunshine and rainbows. So talk to me about some of the hurdles that you encountered as a mom and a lawyer.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that because, you know, you don't want to paint it with a, you know, gloss over that it's challenging. I talk to a lot of women that are, you know, thinking about doing that, and you want to be realistic about the challenges. I like to share my crazy story because, you know, I think it shows that anything's possible, that you can do it without a lot of planning. But for me, not having a plan, not having a strategy in place, and also not having any money set aside was extremely stressful. I felt that I had no safety net, personally or professionally. And that was very frightening and stressful. So I don't want to gloss over that. But I do think that, you know, in my specific situation, I didn't have a lead time to prepare for that. But I do think that, you know, other attorneys that are thinking about entrepreneurship with a very little bit of planning and a little bit of strategy and savings, you know, it can be night and day.
That's really awesome. I mean, you're right. So obviously that's one of the tips is it's funny that you say you're like, I didn't really have a safety net. I just kind of leapt. When I left the law, I did not either. I just kind of like leapt here. I'm like, that's kind of a 1 out of 10 recommend. I mean, I don't really recommend doing that. I mean, granted, I could have handled that a lot better. It forced me, right? Again, like it forced me into the position to make decisions. But why do you think that the law is so regularly talked about as not being conducive with being a mom? Because I know my experience 10, 15 years ago, I am still talking to moms today who are struggling to find their footing in the law, to find what works for them. Why do you think that is? I mean, I guess that we could probably do a whole podcast episode on that, but I'd love to know your thoughts.
That's one of my favorite topics. And that's really the very issue that's fueled a lot of the work that I've done in the last few years. And I also want to point out, like what you mentioned, is it's still very much a relevant topic. Other fields are much further ahead of law in terms of equality and accessibility. And so sometimes I think people think it's almost kind of like a passe issue. But I was speaking at an event the other night, and a 23-year-old woman raised her hand, and she said, you know, I don't have a family yet. I'm not even married yet, but I just started my career and I love it. But I'm looking 10 years down the road at what I want my personal life to look like. And I don't see how that's possible. Everyone around me is working around the clock. So, you know, it's still very much a reality in law. There's a Harvard economist who I really look up to. She's inspired a lot of the work that I've done. Her name is Claudia Golden. She actually won the Nobel Prize in Economics last year for her work on women in professional fields. And she included law basically on a short list of fields that are very very inflexible, very rigid, and very inaccessible. And in our field, I think that women have advanced to a degree sort of in spite of these challenges, but it still really creates a ceiling. And we know that from the data. You know, the ABA study shows that women are entering law in equal numbers, but they're not staying in law and they're not excelling in law. And it's the hours, it's the expectations, it's the billing demands, it's the client expectations. It's this whole culture of us needing to be 1,000% invested in our work and in our clients around the clock. You know, it's the weekend emails, the giving our cell phone numbers to clients, all of those things. And that's what causes the burnout. And I think we can change that. But, you know, the only people that I see really pushing for that are working moms. And that's why I gear a lot of my focus towards working moms, because I think we're really the ones that are asking for those changes. Everybody else, for the most part, is just kind of keeping on keeping on.
I agree. So why is it important for women like you and other female law firm owners to start empowering more women to start their own law firm?
For me, entrepreneurship was the key. It was the only way that I saw that I could do the work that I wanted and also be the mom that I wanted. And, you know, that looks different for different people. I never want anything that I say or write to be construed as, you know, shaming someone for how they handle their career or their parenting. But for me, I wanted to be a very active, very present parent, but I also wanted to continue practicing law. That wasn't available to me in traditional employment. I didn't see that option. So I created it for myself initially. And, you know, within the next few years, I started thinking a little bigger, like, can I build a firm where other women can come work and have that flexibility? And can we do that and still be profitable? Because there's this dichotomy that we see where it's like, you have to pick, you're either going to be like, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, lean in, work all the time and hire help, or you're going to be part-time, work from home during your kids' nap time at the kitchen table. But what's in the middle? That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a successful, profitable business where we could, you know, be professionals and do the work that we were born to do, and not have it completely dominate our lives. So after the first few years of sort of figuring things out, learning all the things that I didn't know about running a business, which was everything, I got my feet under me a little bit. And I started thinking, okay, how can I be strategic about this? How am I going to grow, you know, hire staff, hire associates, and also always keeping that keeping true to that vision and the culture that I wanted in my firm. And, you know, for me, it was an experiment of, can I do this? And I've answered that question for myself. Yes, it's possible. And so now I love to see other women lawyers do it. You know, and I think that we need to change those statistics, change those numbers. A new report came out last week that 60% of incoming lawyers are women, of incoming law students are women. So now we're a majority going into the field, but yet the percentage at partnership level or the owner level is less than 20%. And it's because of that huge percentage, you know, 25 to 30% of people who leave their career mid-career because of family responsibilities. So, you know, I see my job or my mission as smoothing those numbers out so that we are equal at the beginning and also at the end of our careers. Because I think that, you know, as much as I appreciate, you know, allies who are not working moms, I think we're the ones who know what we need. And so we need to be at the top, making decisions, setting policies, and just forcing a new normal.
Amen. And again, for the people in the back. So tell me about your law firm. Tell me about Arlington Law. Tell me about how you guys are practicing law differently.
So we are currently an all-women law firm. There's 12 of us. We're based in Richmond, Virginia. I've recently transitioned out of my identity as a criminal defense attorney, which is how I saw myself for a long time. We focus primarily on immigration law these days. And there was a couple of factors that went into that, but a big piece of it was scaling and work-life balance. And so we've moved out of a lot of the court-based and litigation-based work that we've done. As a caveat to that, I don't think that that's necessary. And I work with a lot of women lawyers who still do trial work, but that was what I wanted to do. So these days we're mostly immigration. We're all bilingual, so that's a big piece of it. We have a number of moms on board. We have a number of team members who have other family responsibilities, you know, parents, spouses, partners, things like that. And I run the firm. I don't do very much legal work or litigating these days. I have a senior attorney who handles the legal strategy. I have a director of operations who helps with operations. And we focus a lot on our workplace culture, on being family friendly and still hard charging, but really trying to be an example. I want to attract other high performers to our firm. And I also want to serve as an example so that I'm not just talking the talk. You know, when I tell people you need to offer extensive PTO, you need to offer hybrid schedules, I'm not just saying that. I'm showing I do that and it works.
So that's what actually you just segued beautifully into my next question. Right. So what are some of those things that you are leveraging to bring in talent and retain it that specifically working moms, lawyers need?
Sure. So I think for starters, I think compensation is important. You can offer a lot of fringe benefits, but at the end of the day, high performers need to be compensated properly. So that's a priority for me. And I work with a fractional CFO, an amazing CFO, Jessica Ganifas, who works with law firm owners and particularly women, so that we can structure our finances in a way that we can be salary heavy in our operating budget. So compensation is important, benefits, you know, health, vision, and dental, all of that. The hill that I will die on, and I get into so many other arguments with other firm owners about this, is I think you need to have extensive PTO. If a business offers 2 weeks PTO, they are not family friendly. It doesn't matter what else they do. That is not enough for working parents. So everybody starts with about 6 weeks PTO. We do all government holidays. If the courts and schools are closed, you know, on a Monday or a Friday, we're usually closed. We close the week of the winter holidays. And then we have an additional 4 weeks discretionary on top of that. And that's for all employees, obviously not just parents, but it's particularly important for parents when you factor in winter break, spring break, you know, summer, random snow days, all that kind of stuff. So compensation and leave is just an absolute non-negotiable. We are in office, and so we're not fully fully remote. However, we do have a team who works from another time zone. And so what that allows us to do is to have extended business hours. So clients can call in, they can make payments, they can request things, but we're already home. So we have folks in another time zone that are working until 7 p.m. our time while we're all home having dinner with our families. We use technology, of course. We have a client portal, electronic payments, you know, all of these types of things where we're minimizing any kind of friction where we're not going to be able to serve clients without working around the clock.
I would have, like, if something like this existed when I was practicing law, like, I cannot imagine how differently things would have turned out. I mean, I am just sitting here going, why can everyone not do this, right? Why can we not offer moms the flexibility and the compensation that they need? Like, I don't understand, but I am so happy to know that you are doing this and that you are teaching other women how to do this. So talk to me about your book. I want to hear about this amazing book and what inspired you to write it and who are you serving with that book?
Sure. So I would say that my firm really took off as far as having a really cohesive business vision and direction in like 2019 to 2020, which, you know, we obviously ran into COVID. That was a time of growth for us. We had already kind of started on the process. But that was where I really crystallized my vision and committed to it. And I felt like we started getting attention right away. You know, our firm has received a lot of awards for this, and I'm very appreciative of that. But I always try to emphasize with people that, you know, we're not special in the sense that it's not impossible and it's not a big mystery. So when other lawyers were reaching out to me, just, you know, informally, can we have coffee? Can we have lunch? I've heard you, you know, leave the office at 3 o'clock. Is that true? How are you doing that? Those sorts of questions. Other lawyers that I knew, mostly women who were working for firms or working at government agencies, and they were thinking about leaving, but they wanted to know what it was really like. So I was having all of these conversations just informally and putting together lists and emails for people. Okay, this is all the technology that I use. This is my budget. This is what I did. And it sort of, you know, turned itself into a manuscript. And you know how people say, oh, you should write a book? You know, it came very naturally because I had been living this and thinking about it and talking about it already. So I put it all into a manuscript. I submitted it and it was accepted, and we went through the editing process, and then it came out in January of 2023. And it's been really fun since then. You know, this is it's turned into a side business, but it's really my passion, and I'm doing it alongside my law firm. So, you know, I speak at events and work one-on-one with other women that are specifically looking to start a firm, or they already run a firm and they want to make it more family friendly. That's really my focus. I feel like there's so many amazing resources out there for lawyers who run firms. But I was thinking back to when I first started, I didn't feel like there was a beginner's guide, you know, like those old books, like An Idiot's Guide to Starting a Law Firm.
Yeah,
you know, that didn't exist. And so that's really what I had in mind. It's, you know, basically like day one, I'm thinking about doing this. So I've gotten, you know, a great result or a great response, I should say. It's been really fun talking to lawyers around the U.S. and even in Canada. And some male lawyers have reached out and said, I know your book was for moms, but I read it and it was helpful. So that's amazing too, as well, of course. You know, it really drove home for me how much of a need there was. I knew that, I had experienced that, but it's reaffirmed constantly.
Hey, powerhouse. I just want to let you know that I see you. You have multiple to-do lists. You never feel like you're crossing anything off. Overwhelm is constantly swimming in your head. I absolutely relate. And I see you, and I'm here to help you regain your sanity. Introducing the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done. You guys, this is a game-changing ebook that is about to revolutionize the way you tackle your tasks. It's not your typical productivity guide. None of us have time for that.
but it's a revolutionary approach that I've perfected over time that is going to actually help you break free from overwhelm and reclaim your powerhouse status so you can actually get shit done. So what are you waiting for? Say hello to a more organized and focused you. Grab your copy of the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done today by clicking on the link in the show notes or go directly to erin.gerner.com to grab your copy.
That's awesome. So where do you see this book taking you, or have you thought about that?
So, I've thought about it a little bit. You know, I'm a very next step person. If you're familiar with like the Colby, I'm a quick start. So I'm always like, oh, I have this new idea. Fortunately, I have people in my firm who work with me who are implementers and integrators and also temper me to a degree so that I'm not just starting a new business like every day. I'm, you know, still really heavily involved in the law firm management, but it really goes hand in hand with my other projects. So right now I'm doing a lot of speaking to business owner groups, not just lawyers, but really, as you said, that's what I know. I'd really like to see more work, and I'd like to do more work with existing law firms who are ready to really shift their focus and their mindset. I'm a big believer in entrepreneurship. It's been a huge gift for me. It was the greatest thing professionally that I've ever done. But also, not everybody wants to do that. It's not for everybody. I have amazing lawyers that work here at the firm who that's not their personality and that's not their vision. So I would like to see other law firms looking at how they can kind of reshape their structure, their policies, their procedures to be more accessible to working moms.
So let's just play pretend for a minute. Let's just say you were hired as a consultant to walk into, I don't know, a mid-sized firm. And what would be maybe top three things that you would immediately look at? Obviously, the compensation, the PTO. What else would you be analyzing within that firm, or you would think that maybe would need to be some things that might need to change?
Yeah, I think that you need to look at how the firm is run. It's kind of surprising, or it was surprising to me initially. Law firms are often not run well. And that's not a knock on lawyers. It was my experience when I started as well. I didn't know anything about running anything. I just knew about being a lawyer. I'd been a trial lawyer. So in order to have that money to compensate and to be, you know, generous and supporting of your employees, the firm needs to be done well. I love law. I love lawyers, but we are so behind the times on so many things. We're like the last profession to adopt social media, which is low cost marketing. Technology. Lawyers are terrified of technology. They're terrified of AI. You know, you find the one person, I'm trying to think of a nice term, who does something totally idiotic with AI, and then every other lawyer in the country is scared to use it. So I don't even consider myself to be an extraordinarily tech savvy person, but you know, you look for these tools of what are other fields using, what are other types of businesses using to maximize their efficiency and their profitability, and bring those into law firms. And that frees up money to have more flexibility, to have better compensation, maybe to have multiple teams where you have a remote team in another time zone serving clients, where you can invest in a client portal. Those are all, I think, specific and actionable things that a firm can do immediately. The second piece is really mindset, and really you really need to sell people that this is important and it's possible. One of the things that I hear from attorneys all the time is like, my clients have to talk to me. It has to be me. My clients won't talk to a paralegal. My clients need my cell phone. There's so many like, this wouldn't work. This wouldn't work for me. And that's all not true. It's all not true. These are things that are very ingrained in the profession. So there's an operational piece of being efficient and being profitable. And then there's a mindset piece of accepting this is important. This is something that we need to do as a firm and as a field.
Because right. I mean, what otherwise the talent's leaving, like the numbers stay the same. I mean, I wonder what they will look like in 5-10 years if we don't change. Do you know what I mean? Like you're seeing them already so behind. It's like if we don't change, then what? Right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The numbers are, there's a brain drain of women talent mid-career. You know, for any business owner, you want to see a bottom line. And so while on some level, I think a lot of people appreciate, you know, we need to be equitable. What I really, you know, have found and what I try to emphasize is that it's not an either or. You know, making your business profitable and welcoming to female talent or to working moms is a win-win. Because there's a high cost to turnover for an employer. You know, I'm an employer. If I'm not keeping people and there's a lot of turnover every time I need to hire somebody and train someone and onboard them or, you know, deal with HR issues or whatever, that's a huge cost. So it's not an either or. It's not like, oh, we need to spend all this money and sacrifice profits so we can be nice to women or be nice to moms. It's, you know, this is good for the field. It's good for business. It's good for everyone.
Absolutely. I want to switch gears just a minute because I have such a curious question for you because I know I have a lot of women in my sphere of influence that are in the Powerhouse Lawyers community, even clients who own their own firm, who have transitioned just like you from being actively practicing to now in a more managerial role as they're expanding, as they're growing and they're hiring, obviously, in trying to retain talent, passing that down to a senior attorney, and then stepping into a managerial role, which is very, very different, I assume, and I know, actually, I don't assume, I know, based on conversations that I have all the time. So talk to me about a little bit about that journey, because I think that that's a piece that our listeners could really glean value from, because I think that maybe there are, well, obviously, there are people listening to the podcast who already are firm owners, right? Or maybe they have a couple employees, but now they want to expand and grow. In order to do that, you have to let other things go. So talk to me about that, because that probably wasn't an easy transition.
No. And, you know, I'm empathetic to it because, you know, when you're a lawyer, for me, being a trial lawyer, being a criminal defense attorney, I spent time as a public defender. I did civil rights cases. You know, I took a case up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Like, that was a big part of my identity. And I still sometimes, like, catch myself. I tell people, like, oh, I'm a criminal defense attorney. It's like, that's not even really accurate anymore, but that's how we see ourselves. And so I do recognize that in lawyers. And so it can be, you know, a difficult shift to let some of those things go. I think I did it a little gradually. You know, I hired my first associate, I start delegating, and then I hired another associate, start delegating. Then my first associate became senior. And so it happened a little bit over the course of a few years. I felt really ready for that transition. I've been doing this 15 years now. I've got 3 kids, you know, elementary school and one going into high school. So I was tired. I was tired of, you know, being in court. And so I was ready. I think also it's just a necessity. You know, I heard there's a very prominent plaintiff's attorney in California named John Gomez, and I heard him speak years ago, and he said, "You cannot run a business from a courtroom." Period. You can't be that person. It's not the same person. Those are different people. Now, there are some firms where the owner really does want to be in the action trying cases, but then what they need is a partner or a very, very senior operations person to run the firm. You know, for me and for the size of my firm, it made sense for me to be the CEO and to hire other lawyers to do the legal work. But it is a full-time job, and it's got to be somebody else. You know, so many lawyers, they start law practices like I did kind of by accident and not thinking I'm launching a business. If you decide that you're ready to build your firm into a business or launch a business, you need to become a business person and you need to act like an owner. You know, they say work on the business, not in the business. And so whether that's the right fit for you or whether you can surround yourself with other people that can fill that role, I think it's an absolute necessity in order to grow and scale.
And I think that's a huge point to point out. Like, I think that that's a huge transition and point that lawyers need to understand as being a business owner. Because like you said, we don't know how to do that. We know how to be lawyers. So there are different elements of this and different shoes and different hats that you have to wear. And sometimes that's a good fit and sometimes it's not. But being aware to then bring people in and surround yourself with the people that you do not, that do the things that you either don't want to do or don't do well or whatever. I think lawyers have a hard time delegating, but I think the path to success is paved with delegation. Like you cannot it by yourself. It's just impossible.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that you do get to a point where you do need full-time people in those roles. However, if that sounds intimidating for people who are solo practitioners who have a small firm, these days there's so many fractional options, fractional CFO, fractional COO. So there are a lot of ways where you can scale for, you know, start with a lower cost and still delegate some of those roles. And then as you grow and you're ready to bring it in-house, you do that. I've done that with operations. I've done that with marketing. I've done that with finances to a large degree. And so it's there's ways to do it in kind of a incremental approach.
And I love that. I think that's such a great tip to say that you don't have to go all in, that there are a lot of fractional options these days that can help you kind of gradually get to that point. And that actually segues into the last question I was going to ask you. I would love if you would leave our listeners with just your last thoughts and tips if they are listening in and saying they could be in one of two boats, right? They can be thinking about this is something that they want to do, or maybe they're already a firm owner, but they want to expand or make their firm more family friendly. We've talked about so many great tips. I think that was such a great one to just start small. Anything else that you would add to the listener for the listeners out there?
You know, I think you have to just go for it. I have a friend who says, this isn't a dress rehearsal. you know, we need to design the life that we want personally and professionally. And that involves taking risks.
Absolutely. That is, you have to be very, you cannot be risk averse. Like that is not the way to success. And if you really look at the most successful people in this world who are doing the do, they're constantly every single day waking up and taking risks and being willing to be a beginner at something. I think that's so key, is just being willing and open to be a beginner and learning and just going one step at a time. Because like you said, you just have to start and the next steps will gradually reveal themselves. Miriam, this has been like, I am not even kidding, the most amazing episode. I cannot wait for our listeners to hear this because this is just jam-packed with tips of not only how to, you know, run your firm more family friendly, but I think it's really empowering females in the law to take ownership of their career, to take ownership of the values and priorities that they have in their life, and then go out there and do the damn thing. Because your evidence, I'm evidence, that we've got evidence all over the place that it's possible. You just need to take the first step. And you, I think, gave a lot of women courage to do that today.
Well, thank you, Erin. I hope so.
Yes. But I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy because we do have to do a Legally Blonde moment before I let you sail on out of here. So would you share a funny moment with the listeners for us, please?
Oh, gosh.
And it can be mom related too, because I've got lots of funny mom ones. Like all the mom ones are rolling off my tongue these days.
Okay. I hope this doesn't make me sound like a bad mom.
Oh, so girl, one star can say, I'll save you a seat, girl. I got you one sitting right here next to me.
So I'm remarried and I have more kids now. My daughter was my first, but when I was remarried, my husband was away on a business trip. I was pregnant with my youngest son. So picture, I'm hugely pregnant. My daughter was a toddler and I'm home alone and it's snowing outside. And of course I get that ding on my phone, the daycare is closed, but the court was still open. So I pack up she would have been two, and we drive up through the snow to court and it's a criminal docket. And I walk in there, big pregnant belly, two-year-old, the stuffed animals, the books, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to do my criminal docket. And my daughter, I thought in my mind that I could just put her on the bench with like some toys and it would be fine, but she wasn't having it. She wouldn't leave my side. So she came up to counsel table with me. And then I had to talk to a client in the back, which, you know, that's criminal speak for in lockup. And so I took my daughter with her Mickey Mouse toy, with her, you know, Curious George book. And we went in the back to talk to our client, or my client, not our client.
I love it. But it is your client. It's our client. Like, we're doing this. We're a team. This is what mommy does.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone in the courtroom thought I was nuts, I'm sure. But in retrospect, I think it's kind of a sweet story. But I felt very frazzled at the time. And I did get a lot of looks and a lot of kind of side eyes.
I think that's an amazing story. And I hope that your daughter knows that she was super young when she made her first court appearance. So if she ends up in law, you can be like, you've been doing this since you could basically walk. I've been teaching you how to do this. So you've indoctrinated her young. Thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find you if they want to? Obviously, they can grab your book. We'll drop that in the show notes. But where can people find you if they want to contact you, work with you, all the things?
Sure. So yeah, the book's on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all those places. The site is momsalawyer.com. You can contact me through there. I'm on all the social channels. My handle is Lawyer Like a Mother. And my email is hello@momsalawyer.com.
Awesome. Miriam, thank you so much. And thank you so much for the passionate work that you are doing for women in the law. It is much appreciated.
Same to you, Erin. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Bye, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening into the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you catch your podcasts. If you loved this episode, I would be so honored if you left a review. And because I know you are the type of woman who wants to see other women win, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs it. By sharing it, you are empowering a fellow sister in the law to know that she is not alone, that there is nothing wrong with her, and that she can build a life and career that she loves. Thank you. See you next week. Hey, Powerhouse. As a dedicated listener to this podcast, I have curated a special place just for you. It's called the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook group. You can head on over to the show notes, click on the link, and join our community. This Facebook group is for listeners of the show, attorneys, no matter where you are in your practice. Maybe you're a law student, or maybe you're just someone fascinated by the legal profession. This Facebook group is for you. This is a community that is going to engage in discussions on episodes. You'll get special exclusives. There's valuable networking opportunities. I'll be providing some educational content. And above all, you'll get a strong, supportive community and support system. So click on the link in the show notes below to join the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook community, where community, knowledge, passion, and collaboration thrive. Again, head on over to the show notes to click on the link to join the Facebook group for the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Thanks so much. See you guys there.